Lord, so thankful for the opportunity to get to a place where the Lord can steady our heart. The Bible says the heart is so deceiving. Who really knows it? So what does that mean? Some people say, well, that doesn't really encourage me because, Vinny, you're telling me that I can't even really know my own heart. Well, I didn't tell you that. Scripture told you that. So when we go through things in life and we feel things and we think we know how we should handle those things, we have to turn over to the Lord and say, Lord, what do I really need to feel? How do I respond to this? And He is the one who brings the balance in our lives through what we feel. And I'm just thankful to have a God that allows me to hand what I feel over to Him, and He can do what He sees fit with it.
All right.
Problem is, we don't want to turn it over. We like to feel what we like to feel. We like to experience what we like to experience. But if you live for the Lord long enough, you'll realize that there's a lot of things you've got to lay at His feet and say, God, I need You to steady my heart.
Right.
That's the kind of God we serve. And that's the kind of God I want to continue to serve in my life. There's a lot of people in this world today that worship all kinds of gods, and they're very confused. They try to burn incense, or they try to offer these things with their life to a God that really doesn't even exist, and yet they're trying to hand over their heart to a God that can't respond. How even more should we, having the truth, look to the Lord and say, here's my emotions, here's my questions, here's my desires, Lord, steady it. Because without You, I can do nothing here tonight. I can do nothing in my life. Amen? Let's all stand. I'm going to read a scripture here. Pastor Jonathan, thank you so much for this opportunity. This is the service of the year. And I am just so grateful and so thankful for that opportunity. My missing being home. We're going to have our first youth service in a couple of weeks when we get back. But I know how big and huge this first service is. And I'm just very privileged. And I thank you very, very much. We're going to read in Jeremiah chapter 19, 1 through 4. One thing that I love to do at home, I love our young people. It's still difficult to get everybody to bring their Bibles to church. I know we got apps, and I know we got this, and we go with that, but there's something about those physical pages of the Word of the Lord. But if you have your phone, open it up to Jeremiah 19, or tap it. Tap it open, Jeremiah 19, 1 through 4. Thus saith the Lord, go and get ye a potter's earthen bottle, and take of the ancients of the people and of the ancients of the priest, and go forth into the valley of son of Hinnom, which is by the entry of the east gate, and proclaim there the words that I shall tell thee. Say these things, hear ye the word of the Lord. King, O kings of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will bring evil upon this place, that which whosoever heareth, his ears shall tingle, because they have forgotten me and have estranged this place, meaning they brought strange things or strange gods into this place and have burned incense in it unto gods, whom neither they nor their fathers have known, nor the kings of Judah. And I have filled this place with the blood of innocents. Skipping down to 10 through 11. Then Jeremiah, this prophet that God called, shalt thou break the bottle in the sight of the men that go with thee, and shall say unto them, thus saith the Lord of hosts, even so will I break this people and this city, as one breaketh a potter's vessel that cannot be made whole again, and they shall bury them in Tophet, till there be no place to bury. Skipping down to 21 in our last verse here, 8 through 9. And say unto these people, thou shalt say, thus saith the Lord, behold, I set before you the way of life and the way of death. There's a choice here, life or there's death. That he abideth in the city shall die by the sword. Anyone that stays and hangs out here will die by the sword and by famine and by pestilence. But he that goeth out of the city, he that gets out of that situation and falleth to the Chaldeans, surrender yourself to the enemy that besiege you, ye shall live, and his life shall be unto him for a prey. I want to talk to you tonight on this topic. We're not going to go long. I can feel the presence of the Lord. The whole point for preachers and ministry to preach to you and to minister to you is it should be for one purpose, and that is to get God's people to respond to what he's doing. So the presence of the Lord is already here. So if you allow yourself to connect for just a few more moments and hear what God has for you here this evening, I promise you, the beginning of 2018 is going to be powerful.
That's right.
I want to talk to you on this particular topic here. Battle for the throne. Battle for the throne. I know we've prayed a lot, but if you slide your notes down or your phone down, and I don't want you to pray for anybody else here in this prayer. I want you to close your eyes, lift a hand or two towards heaven, and just ask the Lord to minister directly to you here this evening. Oh God, through the power and the authority of your name, I pray. Jesus, that you would minister to each and every one of us here this evening, oh God. I pray, oh Lord, that you allow your words to go forth here, Jesus. Anoint your lips, anoint your man. Allow me to hide behind your cross, oh God. Allow no pride, oh Lord, to come forth here tonight. For pride is against you, oh God. I pray that the purity of your word would saturate our minds. And that it would find its way into our hearts and resonate, oh God, us into action, I pray. With the power and the authority of your name, we pray. And everybody said, amen. Why don't you look at your neighbor and say, man, you look good tonight. In the house of the Lord, and you may be seated.
Good tonight.
Even as young adults, as young people here tonight, the Lord desires to save his people. I believe it is the very heartbeat of God to do whatever he can, whenever he can, to save us, deliver us, and be exactly what we need him to be when we need him to be it. God wants to save you. God wants to touch you. He wants to be the very singular thing that you run to when you need him. He wants to be our Savior. The Bible says in Zechariah 9:16, the Lord their God shall save them in the days as the flock of his people. For they shall be as the stones of a crown lifted up as an ensign upon his land. The Lord wants to save his people. The Lord wants to be our salvation. But he does not want us to rely on anybody else. Not even your family, not even your friends, not even your girlfriend or your boyfriend or the relationships that you have. They can only go so far, but the Lord of heaven, the Lord of our life, the Lord of our heart, the Lord of the way that we live, the Lord of the Word of God, wants us to solely rely on him when it comes to salvation. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Jeremiah 17:5-7 says, thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man. If you trust so much in man, if you trust so much in this world, the Bible says that you will be cursed if you trust in man and make it flesh his arm and whosoever's heart departeth from the Lord. For he shall be like the heathen in the desert and shall not see, or like the heat in the desert shall not see when he cometh or when he goeth, but shall inhabit the parched places. You're always going to be thirsty in life if you're not solely looking to the Lord for your salvation. You're going to go through life wanting. You're going to go through life wanting this, wanting to experience that, wanting to go through this experience here. You're always going to be thirsting for the things of this world if when it comes to salvation, you seek in this world. It's time as a young people, it's time as a youth group, we wake up and stop relying on human resources. You know, we have this hero mentality. We get this crazy idea that, you know what, when it comes time to it, when my back is against the wall, I don't have to pray and read every day. I don't have to experience things from God every day. When I just need him, he'll come banging in through the back door and he'll just save me. There's this hero mentality, but we have to be able to put aside human resources. For human resources lead us to the presence of God. But humanity cannot bring us into the presence of God. Let me say that again. Humanity can only lead us to the presence of God, but humanity cannot bring us into the presence of God. But only the Spirit of God allows us access into his presence. I don't know about you, but I want the presence of the Lord in my life. I want to be in his presence. I want to know how he thinks. I want to know how he thinks I should act or how I should react, how I should do, how I should live life. The only way I can know that is being in his presence. I've got to be in the presence of the Lord. Well, Vinny, I come to church on Wednesdays. I come to church on Sundays. And yeah, that's good. Your humanity is bringing you to the presence of the Lord. But the only way you get access into his very presence is by the Spirit of the Lord. You leave your humanity at the altar. You leave your humanity at the pew and you say, God, whatever you want from my life, whatever you desire of my life, allow me into your very presence. Your generation is one of the most amazing generations of giving. Giving. Now, this generation here, even when it comes to offerings and things of that nature, I've been to youth camps all across the United States watching young people just give and give and give. But the problem is this generation sometimes is so about self. It's all that what I can do, what I can accomplish. But what's in your heart right now and what's in your mind right now and even your physical body can only bring you to a place where you have to allow everything to be removed and say, Lord, whatever you desire of me, I want to do. But you can only know that once you are in the presence of the Lord. He wants to be our salvation. Amen? Most of us here tonight have never had a situation in their life take place where they needed deliverance from someone gunning them down. Most of us here tonight have not lived in areas where there is violent warfare. Instead, we are most often faced with the intense attack upon our mental state, the attack of our faith, the harmony that we have with our families have been attacked. Even some of our physical bodies have become under attack, and our family finances have become under attack. But understand this, that God still occupies the throne of heaven, and he is in control of it all. No matter what you're facing here tonight, no matter what you brought with you into the church building here tonight, the Lord, the God of heaven, is still on the throne. You don't have to worry about, is God going to take care of this? Is God going to take care of me? Is God going to open up a door for my life? The Lord is still on the throne. And even when the emotional battles come, and it seems so intense that if we were actually fighting for our physical survival, God is still God. God is still sovereign, and he's always in control. When we are face to face with the most intense mental and emotional struggle, God is still God. Even when we are feeling the worst pain of our heart as a result of our own sin and neglecting the very presence of God, God is still God. And he is on the throne. Even if your parents don't want to serve the Lord, even if your family makes fun of you for coming here on a Wednesday night, God is still God. And he's on the throne. And he'll always be in control of your life, leading you and guiding you into areas of your life if you allow him to. But here is the problem, and this is what I want you to remember here tonight. As humans, we fight a battle that we were never intended to win, and that is the battle for the throne. It is the battle for control. The Bible says this, heaven is my throne and the only one that sits upon it. John said it this way, and he saw in his vision in Revelation, sitting on the throne. The psalmist wrote, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. Psalms 145 and 1, I will exalt thee, my God, O King, and I will bless thy name forever and ever. Every day, he continues to say, will I bless thee, and I will praise thy name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation, he says, shall praise thy works to another, and shall declare mighty acts. I will speak of the glorious honor of thy majesty, and of thy wondrous works. And men shall speak of thy might, of thy terrible acts, meaning holy acts. And I will declare thy greatness. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. He's slow to anger and of great mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. All thy works shall praise thee, O Lord, and thy saints shall bless thee. They shall speak of the glory of thy kingdom and talk of thy power. My mouth shall speak thy praises, and let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever. Why then, knowing all these things, we read these scriptures here tonight in your hearing, knowing how great and how mighty and how powerful, and that there's no one else on the throne, and there's no one else that can take care of you, that there's no one else who can save you from what your pain you have in your heart and the questions in your mind. Knowing these things, why do we fight a battle we were never intended to win? I ask you this question here tonight. Do you sit on the throne of your life? If so, I challenge you and want to inform you here this evening, you are fighting the wrong battle. Don't fight for the battle of the throne, but fight for the battle of the wrong. Fight against the battle of sin in your life. This is a battle you can win. Fight the will of humanity that neglects God's presence in your life. You can win this battle. You can win the battle of sin in your life. You can win the battle and not mess up and go so far with your girlfriend or your boyfriend like you did in this past year. You can win that battle. That's a battle that you can actually take control of and say, God, you know what? I'm going to live for you with my whole heart, with my whole mind, but now I'm going to start living with my physical body. I can do this. I believe in this. That's a battle you can win. But if you keep fighting the battle of control, if you keep saying, God, I'll only worship you or really love you on a Wednesday or on a Sunday or when I get close to you and I feel your presence, I'll just maybe take a step back just here a little bit. When you keep fighting this battle, you're never going to win this battle. Because God is God. Whatever it is, whatever you want. I know I sing on the praise team. I know I play the instruments. I know I'm here early for ministry. But God, I need you to be in control of my life. Because if I keep fighting in this battle, it's a battle I'm never intended to win. Can I be a little real with you right now? Is that okay? I know I'm doing good on time, okay? And we're going to get out of here. And your parents are not going to get all freaked out. I know how parents get. Trust me. I tell people all the time, I have a great youth group, I just didn't have their parents. And let's get rid of this whole idea, okay? My parents don't understand me. They're not supposed to. They're old. And their memory goes as they get older. They forget what it's like to be a teenager. So stop using this excuse, but mom, you just don't understand. She doesn't. She's not meant to. Start handing some things over to the Lord. You're struggling at home with mom and dad. It's probably because you're struggling in your spiritual life. Because the scripture says, children, obey. Obey. It's like another language. Obey. What does that mean? But the reality of it is this. If you're struggling with things at home, if you're struggling with things in your room, if you're struggling with things in your atmosphere, in your world, you're probably struggling praying through at an altar. Because the Bible says if you obey your parents, you probably didn't even know it was in the Bible. If you obey your parents, you'll live a long and healthy life. So I'm trying. My dad is not an easy person. I love him to death. But if he keeps calling me, you know, with tech support for his iPhone because he doesn't know how to use it, and it's the same thing over and over again, it's going to kill me, literally. I'm like, Dad, you're literally going to kill me. Because right now I'm sitting with the things that I'm thinking about in this situation, and I'm not going to live a long and healthy life. So if you really want to get connected and you want to go deeper with the things of the Lord, it has to affect every area and atmosphere of your life. It has to connect in everything at your jobs. With those young adults that are here at work, and you work in your school. And I'm not saying, listen, and if this happens, tell them you go to a different church. If you get up during lunch hour and you stand on the table and you start preaching, you got to repent and you're going to hell. Listen, tell them you go to the church down the road. But getting in the presence of the Lord affects your every life. affects you in every area, at school, at your home, in your job. When you're connected and you're in the presence of the Lord in a place where you're frothing at the mouth and tears are rolling down your face and you can't even say the words any longer, and you set your face maybe here at the altar area and you try to get to a place where God is just, and all of a sudden you're overwhelmed by the presence of God. That's being in the presence of the Lord. And when you're in the presence of the Lord in that atmosphere, nobody can tell you this thing isn't real.
Right.
Nobody can look at you and say, you know what, you're just crazy, you're just going through a phase. It's just because you have problems at home. It's just because you lost your mom, you lost your dad, or they won't go to church, or this thing happened, or your boyfriend broke up, or you're just going through a phase. They don't understand it because they've never been in the presence of the Lord.
Right.
I remember when I was 17 years old. I lost my mother when I was 16. I lost my grandmother just a few months later. I had some struggles in my life. I've had some pain. I've had some questions. But nobody was there with me alone in the basement of my house in the back room. And I'm praying and I want to experience God. And I know He has a calling on my life. Nobody else was there. Nobody was with me, praying with me, anointing me with oil, frothing at the mouth, throwing me against the wall. And the band was playing up on the stage. It was just me and God. And I could look on the outside of the door as the door was closed with the light over there. I could actually feel the presence of the enemy, the devil. You know, I don't know why you can't connect with that statement? Because you've never been in the presence of the Lord.
Come on, man.
You would be able to connect with that statement because you know the power of God. If you know the power of God, then you know the power of the enemy. But nobody else was there. It was just me and God. We have to be able to connect with God and be in His presence more and more. This is the only way you will survive in your life. Young ladies, you will never know the value of your life if you're not in the presence of the Lord.
Right.
You'll give yourself to other things simply because you don't know how valuable you are. Because when you're in the presence of the Lord, He shows how valuable you are. He shows the love and the grace and what you should have and be in your life. Young men, you actually stop doing some things in your life when it comes to the opposite sex if you were in the presence of the Lord more often. Because in the presence of the Lord, you'll see how valuable you are to where you could look at that situation and say, I have tremendous value. There's something more to my life than just being this human being and just going through the routine. Waking up, having breakfast. Well, some of you, because you don't wake up early enough to have breakfast. Can I get an amen? Pop-Tart out the door. Wake up, maybe have breakfast. Get a ride to school or go to work. Go to school. I said that already. Come home from school, go to have lunch. Go through your routine, come home, do a little homework. Well, maybe some of you, a little homework. Then go to bed and wake up and do the same thing over and over again. And then when you become an adult, you have to do it with work. Because if you don't, you can't eat. And the Bible says if you don't work, you don't eat. Some of you got to get out of your mama's house. Get in your own food. Here's the difference between adults and young people. This is the number one difference, okay? If you get this, if you remember this, next time you see me, or I connect with me on Instagram and Facebook and remind you of this, send me a private message of certain things, all right? So here's the only difference. Adults know how to hide their emotions better than young people.
My God.
That's the only difference. So when mommy and daddy walk in the door and there's problems at home and there's bills that haven't been paid, they walk in and they still have a smile on their face. When you guys walk in and someone didn't like a post on Instagram, you walk in, it's written all over your face.
Amen.
Listen, I'm a youth pastor, and there's always that one girl who walks in and we're having a good time and the music is playing before service and everything. And she walks in the door and she brings so much drama with her that the whole atmosphere just deflates. Listen, Listen, guys, stop worrying so much about what other people think. You wouldn't have to worry about it. You wouldn't have to worry about it if you were in the presence of the Lord on a regular basis.
Right.
You actually would not start questioning some things in your life if you were in His presence on a regular basis. Because when you're in the presence of the Lord, two things happen. You're changed, and it can't be denied what you experience. Being in the presence of the Lord is what keeps us. Being in the presence of the Lord is what sustains us. Well, Vinny, you mean if I just pray every day, I'm going to go to heaven? Probably. Because the more you pray, the more you're in His presence, the more you want to pray, the more you want to be in His presence. And the most powerful thing about God is that He never changes. So if you're going to God and getting in His presence, expecting Him to change to what you think and to what you feel and to what you want and the desires you have, honey, you got prayer all wrong. You're praying to some other god. It's a battle that you cannot win. But if you enter the presence of the Lord, wanting, willing to say, God, whatever it is, if you don't want me to be with this person, if you don't want me to get into that, if you don't want me to go to this school, stop having mommy and daddy choose everything for your future and start getting in the presence of the Lord and start choosing it for yourself. You don't have to take that career if you know in your heart and in your mind that career is going to lead you away from God. You can't do both. Well, Vinny, you mean I can't go to school and live for the Lord? No, you absolutely can. But how about choosing a career that God has aligned with your life and says, you know what, I can be this, I can do this, I can live for the Lord in this atmosphere. Right. You can't win that battle. And what will wind up happening is you'll become a miserable adult.
Oh my.
Who sits on a pew at church with his arms crossed and says, you know what? There was this juncture in my life and I didn't make that decision. And I didn't go the way God wanted me to do. Our churches are filled with parents and adults and family members that are miserable living for God. Because they never took the full plunge in His presence. And there are so many people in our world in that exact atmosphere. In the exact place. It even happened in Jeremiah's day. As the musicians come. Jeremiah was a man that probably had his life planned. Jeremiah probably had the girl, had the career. He was getting ready to get on with his life. But the Lord completely corrupted that. And turned him into a prophet. Very briefly and quickly, you know, clay and the potter's wheel. It's an amazing illustration how the Lord tells him to go down to the potter's wheel and look at the potter forming and making and creating. And we all know the story. If you don't know the story, it's very interesting. I'll just briefly go over it. You take your time and connect with it and read it. But we've got this potter that's there, and he's messing up. And he looks at the potter's wheel, and he looks at the clay, and he goes, oh, that's no good. And he takes it, puts it to the side, and grabs some more clay, and adds some more water to it, and begins to reform and create something amazing. And it's through this story, it's through this illustration, that Jeremiah now is seeing what his main purpose is, and what his main purpose is to become. The Lord looks over Jerusalem. He looks in an area where there is tombstones and a cemetery, where they worshiped gods and killed their own children to those gods. The Bible says that these were gods. I never intended for them to do these things. I never illustrated this. I never told the men. I never told the prophets. I never told the kings. I never told the priests to ever do anything like this. And the Lord is at this place where He's ready to destroy this entire city. And He says, Jeremiah, take you a clay jar. Call out all the priests. Call out all the religious people. Bring out all the people of this city. Bring out those that are in charge of all our rules and regulations. And bring them to this valley of death. You see, this clay jar represents humanity. Out of the dust of the ground, man came, and God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And the Bible says that that clay became a living soul. And he says, Jeremiah, take the priest, take all these people, and tell them that I'm going to destroy this entire city. And you have one or two options. You can stay in this city and live, or stay in the city and die, or head out the city and survive. And he says, Jeremiah, take this vessel and smash it. And look at the men that are there and tell them, I'm going to crush you. I'm going to crush these people if they don't surrender to me. It has taken you all of 2017 to get you to 2018 to this place right now and surrender. The only way we can get into the presence of the Lord is surrendering to Him, allowing Him to be our salvation.
Right.
But I want to tell you something here tonight, young people, young adults. You can either crash or crush yourself, or break yourself, or God can break you. I'd much rather be able to get to a place in my life where I can be in His presence and I can kneel down before the Lord and I can pray and I can say things like, you know what, Lord? I'm sorry for doing this. I'm sorry for saying that. I'm sorry for watching that. I'm sorry for being in that atmosphere. I'd much rather do that and begin to break. And begin to break my spirit and break my own soul. And look at the pieces of my life. And say, Lord, here I am. When she said this, spirit, God, I broke it. I'm here. But even the church hurt me and somebody said something in my youth group. And God, I'm sorry for going too far with her. I really didn't know what I was doing. I really wasn't supposed to be there, but you didn't have to break me. But I broke myself. We can look at all these broken pieces of our life and we can try to fix it ourselves. Or we can simply say, Lord, take all the broken pieces and save my soul. You know what heaven is going to be like? It's going to be full of people who are sinners with broken pieces of their lives, but surrendered their lives to a Savior who put it all back together. Stand with me here tonight. This is an opportunity for you here tonight to pick up some pieces. Pick up the pieces of your life. Pick up the pieces of your heart. Pick up the things of your mind. This altar is completely open to you, however you see fit to find a place. But I promise you, here tonight, if you take a chance and step outside of that aisle and find a place where you can say, God, I want for you to allow me into your presence that says, oh God, no matter what I'm faced with, no matter what I'm going through, I've got to just be in your presence. I wonder, as you come, you lift your hands and just ask the Lord here to find the things of your life, the things of your mind. Lift every hand towards heaven. Maybe even close your eyes here just a little bit and just look towards the heaven maybe and just say, God, I don't really know what to pray. I don't really know what to happen in my life here. But God, if you can just connect with me and allow me into your presence. If you could just allow me to enter in, oh God, through the mighty power of your name, Jesus. And show me the things, oh Lord, that displease you in my mind and the things that displease you in my heart, oh God. I will break myself here before you in prayer and in surrender and say, oh God, I'll be. Oh God, I'll do. Oh God, I want the same things that you want, oh God. Just show me how to be broken here tonight before you. And it begins with lifting your voice in prayer. And it begins with the surrender of your heart and the surrender of your mind. Oh God, I've got to get close to you. I've got to be in your presence, oh Lord. That I may offer these broken pieces of my life as an offering unto you, oh God. Through the power of your name, the authority of your spirit, oh Lord.